Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Making Connections, our podcast series featuring interactive discussions with industry leaders on the IT challenges and opportunities facing organisations today. I'm Nick Lazell, Customer Success Director at Telehouse Europe, your host for the show. Today I'm joined by two guests, Leon Lobo and Ali Ashkazi, both from the National Physical Laboratory, known as NPL, the UK's National Metrology Institute, and the home of Time in the UK. Welcome, Leon and Ali.
Thank you, Nick. Hi, I'm Leon Lobo. I'm head of the National Timing Centre program at NPL.
Hi, my name is Ali Ashkazi. I am senior research scientist at NPL, helping with delivery of timing signal from NPL time.
Thanks, Leon and Ali. In this episode, we'll be talking about time. What does time mean for business, particularly in the finance sector? And how can time as a service help organisations to synchronise and accurately timestamp events? For organisations today, time matters more than ever. Accurate timekeeping critically underpins digital infrastructures, spanning telecoms, transport, finance, broadcasting, and numerous other sectors. In many ways, time has long been seen as an invisible utility, something we use every day and yet still take for granted. When was the last time you or I questioned where time comes from rather than just expecting it to be there? So Leon, maybe back to the beginning, can you tell us a little bit about the history of time and how it came to be standardized from an NPL perspective?
Sure. So for a long while, we used to use the Earth, the Moon, the stars, the Sun to determine what our time was. But back in 1955, the first cesium atomic clock was developed at the National Physical Laboratory in Teddington by Jack Parry and Louis Essen. And for the first time, they demonstrated that an atom could be a better regulator than the Earth itself. And since then, we've quickly moved on to using atoms as regulators for time. And essentially, what we now know as time is essentially generated from atomic clocks that are based at national laboratories like NPL in Teddington. Now, it allows us to measure time much more accurately. And the way the global timescale, UTC, or Coordinated Universal Time, is constructed, as the name suggests, it's a coordinated affair. So there are, I think, about 500 clocks globally. These are very high-end cesium clocks and hydrogen masers in about 80 national labs like NPL that contribute data from these devices on a monthly basis to formulate what is the global timescale, UTC. That is a paper timescale. And essentially, the real-time realization of UTC are from the laboratories themselves. So at NPL, where we've got a suite of atomic clocks that generate the national timescale and disseminate that to the UK, that is the source of time in the UK. To give you an understanding, for example, across our digital landscape, the primary source that we get our time from tends to be the likes of GPS, a global navigation satellite system, which in itself gets its time from an equivalent laboratory. And GPS signals are all based on time. That's not widely known. But across the board for digital infrastructure, time plays a significant role. And it's really about how we make that next step in performance, but also resilience moving forward.
And why is time so critical then for businesses? And are there any business sectors where time is therefore particularly important?
So every one of our sectors is either directly dependent on time or indirectly to some extent. So looking at synchronization of the energy grid, so phase synchronization of the grid, synchronization of telecom networks, you're looking at financial trading and synchronization of the infrastructure, but also timestamping of reportable events. When you look at defense and security, it's essential for across the board there. Every sector, whether it's food or chemicals or nuclear, eventually requires some form of digital infrastructure or some form of finance or some form of comms, and as such is dependent in some way or the other on that underpinning that is time to enable those platforms to operate. Emerging applications like autonomous vehicle infrastructures, like smart cities, like blockchain platforms, all require high precision time in some form or the other. And currently, it's the default solution tends to be GNSS that is used. And we need to look at alternative ways to access time.
So in terms briefly of the finance sector, I think you touched on, and maybe I guess people might be most familiar with the fact that finance depends on super accurate time because of trading at very high speed, that kind of thing.
Exactly. We've moved on from open outcry exchanges, and pretty much every exchange is electronic. We've got high frequency trading systems that operate at millions of trades per second, and all of that requires time in order to synchronize those platforms. However, as of Jan 2018, for the first time across Europe, we've got a new regulation. So the Markets in Financial Instruments Directive 2 has a regulatory requirement that all reportable events across Europe in the financial markets have timestamps applied that are traceable to the global timescale, UTC. At different levels, mind, for example, for voice trading, it's at the second level. For electronic trading, you're looking at the millisecond. But for high-frequency trading, you need 100 microsecond traceability to UTC. And that's very significant from not just from the point of view of the challenge to implement, but the you could say the advantage it provides the market, the amount of clarity it brings to the market, because suddenly everyone's operating off the same clock and you can understand who did what and when. So causality becomes clear. But also from the point of view of preventing events like flash crashes, for example, having that capability in place certainly mitigates some of that. But should something happen, the forensics become much easier because you've got very accurate timestamps. But it goes beyond just regulatory. When you look at low latency networks in the finance sector, low latency networks, in order to be able to operate as such, have a measurement underpinning. And that measurement is time. It's absolutely crucial to be able to measure your network latencies in order to provide that service level to your customers. But when you look at algorithmic trading and algo playback or tick warehousing, where you're capturing all the data and selling it back to the market or to the regulators, time plays a significant role. And there are new opportunities as well. So for example, distributed ledger platforms and blockchain, time has never been applied in the same way as it will be in the future. To date, it's all been about immutability, the security and encryption. But applying precise timestamps with traceable to UTC for blockchain, for example, adds an entirely new level of trust that's not been considered before. So there are opportunities where time is going to actually stimulate new applications and new ways of doing things.
That's very interesting. Obviously, the whole area of compliance and regulatory requirements is huge, but understanding that time is also an enabler for business or new technologies and underpins that is very exciting. We can look at those exciting factors looking forward for new technology against the regulatory and compliance requirements of industry today, and having a precise time that can be certifiable is a key part here. So Ali, we've discussed the finance, but what about some of the other sectors that can utilize or depend on this super accurate timing?
Absolutely. We have seen many different sectors use case that show how important time has become for other industries. In fact, in our increasingly digital world, organizations are quickly coming to realize that timing really is everything. And what we call usually timing is the invisible utility. If I want to give you an example from the parking meter that we are using in the car park on daily to the high frequency trade, every single hardware and operation we do require precise timing. Car park meter doesn't need precise meter because they can work with 1 minute delay. But when you come to a high frequency trade, you need nanosecond accuracy. And also timing and synchronization are used heavily across all digital infrastructure for a range of the operational purpose. In the order to operate your digital infrastructure, you need to have your infrastructure centralized, and that requires time. And in my opinion, these days, by the tech advancement in our technology, is going to require precise time. Some other use case includes things like algorithm development, optimization, network monitoring, and the timing and synchronization between location is really becoming essential. Also, let's take an example of broadcasting sector. Audio to video synchronization relies on accurate time signal. Time is also pivotal in the operation of things like 5G network. And these days we are talking about 6G network. And so the base station of the 5G or 6G networks are going to require precise time.
So it's clear, I think, as technologies develop and as we implement more and more complex technologies, time and traceable, accurate, precise time really underpins many, many industries. I guess it's really important to be able to implement infrastructure in order to take advantage of precise time. So, Leon, what challenges specifically might face businesses when it comes to implementing time in the right way? You touched earlier on GNSS, and obviously, I think maybe we're aware that a lot of organizations consume their time through GNSS, but what's the alternative then in the infrastructure?
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges we face across critical national infrastructure sectors is particularly coming out of COVID and our heavy dependency on a digital infrastructure that's rapidly accelerating is that underpinning that is time. And in most cases across the board, the source of time into those infrastructures tends to be GNSS and GPS in particular. Because it's free, because it comes over the air, it's accessible, and it's pretty much everywhere till it's not. And with the ubiquity as such of GNSS and GPS, also comes threat and vulnerability to some extent, because then you have incentives to disrupt. And we're seeing that, for example, now with the Ukraine conflict, where there's jamming events taking place on a regular basis, effectively denial of service. But there are other types of, you could say, denials and disruptions like spoofing, where you could hijack the signal and change the time, which could be quite significant for some applications. And what we really need to consider, because of our huge dependency on GNSS and the really poor awareness of our dependency, because it's easy to just implement it wherever it's required. In fact, GNSS, it's not as widely known for time as it is for position and navigation. You've got it in your phone, you've got it in your car. Everyone can see that it's operating, but it's little known that it's used heavily for time across our infrastructure. And one of the things as a nation we are considering now is how we mitigate that dependency by putting in place alternative capabilities. And to that extent, the National Physical Laboratory is leading an initiative with government partners through this National Timing Center program to secure the core that is the national timescale as it stands, and then start to consider how we deliver time like we do NPL time with yourselves now into the finance sector, but also into critical infrastructure wherever it's required for by whoever requires it at the level that's required, but in a resilient way, in an assured way, with all the metrics behind it to really deliver time as a new utility, like we have power, like we have network at the wall, and to essentially embed that trust, embed that confidence for the end user and the applications. But in a way that is, again, it's like a sync fabric across the UK, providing it across the board. And there'll be a whole range of different methods that'll be delivered. So not just fiber in the ground, but it'll be RF broadcasts. It'll be LEO constellations, so low Earth orbit constellations, for example, and as well as potentially other GNSS systems. But the drive to achieve resiliency is through diversity and a system of systems approach. You don't create a silver bullet solution, but you leverage all the different modes and techniques, each of which have different failure modes in order to achieve the outcome that you are looking for, which is resilient time at the user.
Great, thanks, Leon. And Ali, any thoughts on the GPS landscape? Or
yeah, sure. If we look again at financial sector, GPS antenna are causing particular problem. The downside to GPS signals is that you cannot certify them. You are picking up signal from the air. There is no kind of direct audit for the certifying the accuracy and traceability of that signal. In addition, I could say that based on the discussion I had with the data center, such as you or other data center, I think they are really finding difficult to find a space under the data center's roof to install a GPS antenna. So we should look at the alternative ways to provide a timing signal. But I should say time stamping not only need to be accurate, it need to be traceable. And with GPS, financial operations organizations are not guaranteed this traceability. What is more, if it is, the signal is affected by weather condition or any storm or jamming, spoofing, that could affect stability and accuracy of the timing signal that you are receiving from GPS signal.
So So it sounds like challenges of implementing time into an organization, you know, maybe linked to resilience, precision from the cesium clocks that MPL, amongst other laboratories, operate. The precision is there, but that's with this newer way maybe of disseminating time as an alternative or traceable, resilient alternative to GPS. So Leon, I know you touched on the National Timing Center program implemented a few years ago now. How are MPL particularly then looking at disseminating this super precise time?
So we're in effectively the first phase of national resiliency for time. Within this first phase of this program, we are securing the core, that is the national timescale. And if you consider it to be the heartbeat or that source for a future system of systems approach to access time across the UK and beyond, that's where we are now. The next stage, or the second layer of the onion, as it were, is about enabling industry to deliver time in new and different ways. And that's what we are stimulating to create a supply chain in this space for new dissemination techniques, new products, new services, and trying to get the end users, so wider industry, our government, academia, to start to think differently. Not just what could they do better given they had trusted high precision signals, but what couldn't they do given the signals they have now. So one of the opportunities by delivering from that core, that national timescale, is to be able to deliver signals in the future that may be better than GPS. No one's ever thought of that because they never had access to something like that. And it's about entirely new opportunities, disruptive applications that could come along by virtue of being able to access time that is perfectly assured with all the metrics behind it, in multiple locations, wherever it's required. So it's a whole new area that is developing, I'd say.
Thanks, Leon. And Ali, businesses or organizations looking to introduce precision time and resilient time into their infrastructure on a maybe a time as a service type basis, what kind of things should they be looking for?
I should say finding the right partner is extremely important. That's really crucial because that partner should have enough understanding, good understanding of the market need and why is important so that cooperation could work better. In addition, for example, by co-locating with Telehouse, you can access time signal over fiber optic links that is traceable to UTC. At what we do at MPL Time, and actually we have a hub at Telehouse data center, which is our access point. So people, the end application can get a signal from our hubs at Telehouse. We certify at the point of use within the data center. So we are disseminating signal from our resilient infrastructure, multi-layer of infrastructure we have in Telehouse, to provide the timing signal to the end user inside the data center and outside that Telehouse data center, which they can be guaranteed that is going to be accurate to UTC MPL, and they will have the accurate time stamping in that end device.
Yes, and that resilience, of course, is important in infrastructure or a location such as Telehouse, an organization that has co-location in an environment like ours, being able to access MPL time. Also gives a range of organizations across industry verticals the ability to access directly a service such as MPL time. And I think as well as the finance industry, we've heard from Leon and yourself, there's such a wide range of applications. It's very interesting. Thank you. So thank you, Leon and Ali, for your insights. It's an absolute pleasure to discuss the fascinating topic of time. I won't consider it as a utility that we don't really think about anymore. But of course, it appears like time is of the essence and synchronized traceable time is essential to all businesses operating in the digital sphere. Organizations need to look beyond GPS and public internet. Having a data center partner that provides NPL time is essential to ensure resilient and high accuracy timing. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today on the Making Connections podcast. I look forward to you tuning again very soon for the next episode.